Attempt blocked by McNabb to the right circle. A try. Kick save Hill. Rebound. Another try. Save Hill. A third try. Save. And the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Bob boots it ahead. Sticks it left. Barbashev in. Back to the right. A shot. Score! Marchessault. 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at LVSportsNetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Rolling along here, hour number two of the VGK Insider Show, and the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Ryan Wallace hanging out, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside TI, betting kiosk, plenty of televisions, great food and drink specials. Come on down, say hello, hang out. As we watch the Golden Knights take on the Vancouver Canucks, that'll happen just after 7 o'clock. Pre-game show with me starts at 6 p.m. right after the VGK Insider Show. Chris Chapman back in studio. And we're going to dig into Friday night, Vegas, Arizona, as we all know. Scoreless first period. Arizona Coyotes score on kind of a bad angle to open the scoring in the second period, and then Vegas explodes for four goals of their own, have a 4-1 lead going into the third period. And then for the first time ever in franchise history, the Vegas Golden Knights allow six goals in a period, and it's a 7-4 final in favor of the Arizona Coyotes. Vegas was looking to extend their point streak to 8 games. Would have been 7-0-1 if they would have gotten that one over the goal line, and would have been just 1 point away right now to clinching a playoff spot. So when you kind of throw everything together, it was a collapse in the third period that I don't know we're ever going to see again, because it's not like Arizona was threatening and pushing and applying so much pressure that the Golden Knights couldn't get out from under it. It's simply that every single puck over about an 8 or 9 minute span that the Arizona Coyotes threw toward the net either deflected off of something and went in, or beat Logan Thompson and went in. Like, at one point, Arizona had scored on four goals on four consecutive shots. Chris Chapman, how do you parse through that third period? How do you chalk it up in your mind?
Well, I think I'm going to hold off on my answer until what I see tonight. Look, let's be honest here. The first period of the Golden Knights wasn't very good either. So I don't really feel like the third period was a microcosm of the entire game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Golden Knights played well in the second period, and that's really it. I mean, if not for the way Logan Thompson played in that first period, they may have given up four goals on five shots in the first period. Mm-hmm. So the fact that those shots went in the third period, it's really not much different than the first, other than the fact that they did go in. So I'll reserve my judgment on how I parse through that third period until how I see the Golden Knights play tonight. I think while I don't know if there should be cause for concern, the fact that this happened again after what happened in Nashville, where I was pretty positive we weren't going to see something like that again, despite the fact that, look, they were out of gas in that third period against Nashville. Nashville was a very, very hot team. You know, they weren't going to be denied. Their star players showed up in that third period. But it was slightly concerning based on the fact that the Golden Knights played like the refs just threw the puck out there and the Coyotes were going to lay down. And I'm gonna go out and give full credit to the Coyotes, because young players, you know, we saw Josh Doan score a goal. Logan Cooley had the empty netter. I like the fact that those kids were like, you know what, these guys aren't respecting us. Let's go out there and beat them. And I applaud them for that. And while I don't know if it'll be a wake-up call for the Golden Knights that they just can't coast through games against bad teams, you did touch on it a little bit in the first segment with, I want to say it was with Charlie, about their record against good teams.
Yeah.
Like, the Coyotes aren't going to make the playoffs. You're not going to see them again until next year. You'll see them in the preseason. That's the next time you're going to see the Arizona Coyotes. So that part of it isn't concerning. Like, I don't care that they got swept by the Sabres. I don't care that they lost a game in Columbus. Like, that doesn't matter. What matters is they're going to make the playoffs. What matters is I look at what they've done to the Canucks. I look at what they've done to the Oilers. I look at what they've done to the Bruins. Look at Dallas, Winnipeg,
Colorado.
Yep. Those are the games that stand out to me. And you're going to have highs and lows over the course of 82 games. Mm-hmm. But it's look at what they've done to the teams that you're going to see that matter from here on out. Now, if they get blown out tonight and on Wednesday, all of a sudden, everything's out the window. All bets are off at that point. But
okay,
I don't think that's going to happen.
Just let me touch on that for a moment. Because going into Arizona, the Golden Knights were 6-0-1 in their last seven. Right? They were 9-2-1 in their last 12. Have they not built up enough cachet to just kind of look at what happened in the third period as a one-off?
Well, I think they could if it didn't happen in the first period, too.
Sure.
But I'm slightly concerned, but I'm not overly concerned. And I don't think there's going to be a rollover effect. Like, I don't think the Golden Knights are going to come out and lay an egg tonight against the Canucks, a team that they just put up six.
Yeah.
I think Canucks are going to put up a fight. I think for them, they need to prove to themselves that they can compete with the Golden Knights. But I look at it this way, too. If you're the Golden Knights and you want to play the Canucks in the first period or in the first round of the playoffs, go out and kick their butt tonight, because it gives you a little bit more of a chance of that happening.
So then what type of response do you want to see here?
I want to see the Golden Knights come out and play like they did Tuesday night against the Canucks.
Sure.
Like, that's like, I want to see this backup goalie. I want to see him go through it tonight. Like, I want reality check for this guy tonight. I know you said he's played well. I haven't seen him play.
I said that he's got good numbers. And
yeah.
Good numbers. Yeah.
But that doesn't, I don't know who he's got those against, right? Like, if you do that against the Ducks and you do that against the Blackhawks or the Sharks, it's not as impressive as if you're doing it against the Rangers and the Avalanche.
Sure.
So, look, get this kid pulled tonight. Go out there and ruin his night.
You're just mean.
Hey, I'm fair.
No, you're not. You're mean.
He's not my goalie. I don't care. Go out and raid on his parade.
Sure. To me, okay, so what I want to see from the Golden Knights is urgency for 60 minutes. Like, everyone's going to sit there and say, okay, ruin the kid's night. Go out there, score 17 goals.
Maybe not everyone. I will.
Fine.
Because I'm mean.
But you're not alone, right? Like, we asked a question on the text line. A lot of people are looking for that immediate burst of energy, opening 20 minutes, Golden Knights go out there, and you just dictate pace, and you run right through the Vancouver Canucks. Like, that's what people want to see, right? Like, that's the response that you're looking for. You want the Golden Knights to go out there and do everything in the first period tonight that they didn't do in the third period against Arizona. That's what people want. It's human nature.
Right.
For me, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. I want to see urgency for 60 minutes. Right? Like, that to me is the biggest thing for the Golden Knights. When they are an urgent hockey team, when they are matching that energy and matching that level, and they're playing as if their playoff lives depend on the outcome of the game, they have been nearly unbeatable. When that urgency slips a little bit based on the opponent you're playing, then all of a sudden I think you open yourself up. You're a little bit more susceptible than you were over the course of that road trip for the Golden Knights, than you were over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And so for me, it's less to do about whether or not the Golden Knights get an early lead. It's less to do for me as to whether or not the Golden Knights can end the game in the first period, so to speak, or get a young goaltender pulled. I don't care about any of that. What I want to see is urgency from the opening faceoff to the final horn. I don't want to see the Golden Knights take a step back in terms of the way that they are approaching the game and the energy that they are playing with, because as Bruce Cassidy mentioned after the game, they're not in a playoff spot yet. I mean, they're in a playoff spot, but they have not clinched a playoff spot yet. And until this team does that, they're not in the dance. And the mindset that you have to have right now going into the postseason is that every single game that you play, every point that you leave on the board is an opening, is an opportunity for the St. Louis Blues to come in here and take your spot. However unlikely it might be, that's what you're inviting here. So more than anything, I want to see the urgency of a team that has six games remaining and is still not clinched a playoff spot yet.
Well, that's how they have to play, that they're not in the playoffs. I mean, nothing's a foregone conclusion. I mean, it seems like likely that they will end up in that playoff spot. But
it's 3 points. They need 3 points.
But you still need to earn those 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can't play like you did in the first period. Look, the second period was great, but you can't play like you did in the first or the third period against Vancouver because, look, Vancouver's a good team, and they will beat you if you don't show up to play tonight.
Do you think the third period was as bad as the score indicated it was?
No, because there were some goofy bounces in that game, deflections. I thought, you know, obviously, Mantha, you know, it's so close and the game is so fast, right? Like, maybe if he's one step back, he's onside, and Martinez's goal counts. Mm-hmm. The two bounces, the one that, and then look, even on the goal right after the timeout, it was still kind of a weird, because the faceoff went so deep that generally that play doesn't happen so quick. Mm-hmm. You need some development. But I thought once they scored that goal, I said, oh boy, they're going to lose this game. And it just didn't seem like it was a combination of them playing poorly and bad luck.
Yeah. No Alex Pietrangelo on this road trip. He's out with an illness. Nick Waugh likely not going to play over the next two games for the Golden Knights as well. Will Carrier not traveling with the team. So you're not really getting any help there in terms of the injuries. So we're not expecting Pietrangelo. We're not expecting Nick Waugh or Will Carrier. But we are expecting Tomas Hertl to suit up tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights, make his Vegas Golden Knights debut. Tempering expectations is something that we try to do here. Obviously, when you have a player the caliber of Tomas Hertl, especially in this market, you know how good he can be. You know how he can command and take over a game based on some of the battles between the Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks over the years. How do you temper the expectations? Or, put another way, what are your expectations for Tomas Hertl in his debut?
Well, I think for me the most important thing is that he's fit for the entire 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Look, he's coming back from an injury, and we've heard Bruce say, look, if guys aren't ready to play, then they're not out there. So I expect Tomas Hertl will be available to play the entire game. I don't know, like, he's playing with, it sounds like he's going to be playing with Stevenson and Amadio,
yep,
which I think is a good fit because you have a defensively sound guy who can make plays on Michael Amadio. You've got speed in Chandler Stevenson. By the way, we haven't really talked about it, but Stevenson's been on a bit of a tear the last month, scoring-wise, mm-hmm, goals and assists. So you're putting him with two guys who I feel have an opportunity to allow him to showcase his skills a little bit. But, again, you can't go in here expecting Tomas Hertl to score two goals and be first star of the night. Like, I think...
Well, the funny thing about that is he might.
He could be.
Right? Like, he could absolutely do that. If I were to tell you before the game started, Tomas Hertl scores two or has 2 points.
Oh, I'd be like,
it's not outside the realm of possibility.
No,
like,
no.
He's that good of a player.
You know why? Because not only is he that good of a player, but Tomas Hertl, remember Saturday Night Live, they used to have not ready for primetime players. Like, that was like their gimmick, their slogan. But Tomas Hertl is the opposite of that. He is a primetime player. He is a guy who shows up in the big spots. We've seen it. We've seen it firsthand.
Sure.
Tomas Hertl's ability to take over a game and be that guy. He's a guy who scored 4 goals in a game once.
Honestly, buddy, like, if not for Tomas Hertl,
the Golden Knights would have beaten the San Jose that year.
You don't even get to game 7.
No, because he scored the winner in game 6.
Yeah. So we know what he's capable of. I think he helps the most on the power play, at least initially, for the Golden Knights, and boy, could they use it. And if you get a couple of games for Tomas Hertl to kind of knock the rust off, get himself into a good spot. I'm expecting that by the final week of the season, you go into those games against Chicago and Anaheim. Like, I would expect Tomáš to kind of be hitting his stride and finding his form with his new team.
Well, yeah, and that's why you have the benefit mm-hmm. of having these last few games to kind of get him situated and find the best spot for him.
Yeah.
He's going to have the opportunity to get himself back into game shape at the most important time of the season. Look, I've always been a fan of his. I know you have too, which is why I'm still trying to pinch myself to think that he's actually going to don the Golden Knights jersey tonight and skate out there for warm-ups and then be part of the game for the Golden Knights. Like, it would be like if Ovechkin came to play for the Golden Knights for me, because that's how much I like Tomáš Hertl as a player. I haven't had a chance to really talk to him, so I'm looking forward to that first opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I think these next five games is about finding a fit. And Bruce has made mention of it a couple times that he's going to start at the wing, but he does anticipate that at some point he's going to play center. So having that versatility is huge, but having him out there, what it also does, because this team is so deep at the center position, if your number one guy gets kicked out of the faceoff circle, you've got a guy who you could slide in there. So it seems to me like you're going to have a couple of different lines mm-hmm. where you've got guys who are able to play both center and wing, because Brett Howden's not going anywhere. So he's another guy. So I'm really looking forward to these next few games. And I want to see. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if he moves around to find that fit. But it seems like the best spot for him right now is with Stevenson and Amadio.
I'm with you there. All right, let's get into our game ratings. As much as we don't want to do it, let's do it.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. Yeah!
All right,
take it away.
Well, I said it was a third period was a combination of bad play, bad luck, but I didn't like their first period either. It's not a fireball, but it's pretty close. It's a gin, 2 out of 5 for me. You got to play better. You got to play a full 60 minutes. You can't just go through the motions against any team in this league. And I feel like that's kind of what we saw from the start. They picked it up in the second period, and then they kind of thought the game was over at 4-1. So it's unprecedented, and I don't think we'll see something like it again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Jin.
Did you give Nashville a fireball?
No.
You didn't?
No. I think I gave it a tequila.
Huh. Okay.
Because I thought that it was they ran out of gas in that third period. So,
yeah,
so it's a
fair.
Little bit of a different type of, I'm going to say collapse. It was a collapse.
So I've gone back and forth on this because I feel like in a lot of ways it is a fireball. In a lot of ways, it is a 1 out of 5. And you bring up this thought process, right, that they weren't good in the first period either. The only difference in the game was Logan Thompson was great. And that's true. If you were going to tell me going into that game that we would have those three periods played the exact same way, I would have imagined that if the Golden Knights were going to give up 6 goals, it would have been in the first period. And it didn't happen that way. But the Arizona Coyotes were better than Vegas for more periods, more pockets of that game. And when you're chasing down a playoff spot and when you're trying to keep momentum moving in the right direction, when you've built traction, when you've found your game, you've got some good things to build upon, you have to make a 4-1 lead going into the third period hold up against Arizona. You just do. And it's for that reason that I'm going to go fireball. I'm going to go 1 out of 5. It's a setback. It is. There's no other way to really look at it in my eyes. Do I think it's going to be something that lingers? No, I don't. But they had a real opportunity to kind of punch their ticket, so to speak, going into the weekend. And they didn't do it. And it opens the door for St. Louis. And until you've got that X beside your name, I don't like the idea of opening up belief for a team chasing you, not to mention the fact that the Golden Knights have been overtaken by Los Angeles for third spot in the Pacific, and you start to think about all these different scenarios when it comes to wild cards, who you might play, the path, all of those other things. It was just a big missed opportunity for me. And given the fact that it's the first time ever in franchise history they've allowed 6 goals in a period and that it was to Arizona, I got to go 1 out of 5 there.
You know, the funny thing is, if they end up, I guess it's really not funny, but if they end up having to go through the Central Division, you're going to look back on this one, and you're going to look back on the Nashville game.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, you know what, that's 4 points dropped.
No, 3 points.
3 points dropped.
You got a point out of Nashville.
But you allowed Nashville to get 2 points in that one.
Well, you know what's funny? You bring that up. You close that game out against Nashville, and you close that game out against
Arizona.
You're in the playoffs. You're clinched.
You're third in the Pacific because you're still ahead of Los Angeles.
Yeah. That's the difference at this time of year.
Every game matters at this point.
Every point means something. Yeah, you're right on the money. So that's interesting. I'm going 1 out of 5. Chapman goes 2 out of 5. Let us know on the text line, 702-876-1340, what you would rate the game on Friday against the Arizona Coyotes. Let's cue up Bruce Cassidy now. Talked a little bit about Tomáš Hertl making his debut, a little bit on Aiden Hill. And really, the big question, how do you respond? How do you bounce back from a game like Friday in Arizona? Here's Bruce Cassidy.
Back when Hertl was acquired, that it was like getting a gift that you have to wait to unwrap. Does it feel like Christmas morning?
It does a little bit. I'm sure he's excited to play. It's been a while for him, too. He come to a new team, so he's been working hard to get back to the level he needs to be at to play in. See where he's at tonight, where he fits best with the team. I know he's going to help us. Just what will the chemistry be? Took a little while for Mantha, I think, to find his, and he looks pretty good now with Carly and Pav, so we'll see how it goes for Thomas.
What areas do you think he will help you the most?
Well, puck possession down low for sure. We're actually practicing the power play, and he was the net front. And you know, we've been working since Stoney's been out. We haven't had a true net front sort of guy that's been there a lot in the league, so you notice it right away, the little plays he makes and how comfortable he was there. So that should be a bonus right there, and just like I said, anything down below the circles, I think he's going to be hard to get the puck from. So our ozone possession time should go up. Obviously, 200-foot player, he's good in the circle. If he starts with Stevie tonight, Stevie's good in the circle. They're both lefties, so I don't know how much he'll take draws, but he's certainly available to do it.
How do you manage getting him into the new system and just letting him play?
We'll probably do more of the latter, just let him play, and then we'll correct as we go. Joel Ward has a good relationship with him from their days in San Jose, so he's been working with him already on some video clips. And if he's on the wing, I don't know if there'll be massive changes anyway. It's if he moves into the middle, which I suspect he will. Could be as early as tonight at some point. We'll look at him there. That's when it gets a little different for us. But he's a sharp guy, and I think he's asked a lot of questions already, so I feel like, you know, he won't have an issue with that. It'll just be some little details maybe that are different that'll, like everyone else, take a little bit of time. But I can't imagine he'll be sort of the point where he's, you know, unsure of how he wants to play. He's going to play his game, and we'll adjust a little bit to what he brings.
Is Aiden okay to back up tonight? Just only the two of them out there tonight?
Yeah, we're not sure on that. We gave him the lion's share of the work tonight, or this morning, to see how he responds. So we'll make that call a little later.
So right there at the end, you heard from Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the question on Aiden Hill. Is Aiden available to back up? Seems like that's going to be a game time decision, but Aiden Hill on the trip. That's good news, obviously, for the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward. We know that yesterday Logan Thompson practiced, left the ice. Bruce Cassidy after practice said that it wasn't going to be anything. So we'll see come puck drop who's in net for the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't know. Chris Chapman, I don't expect you to know either. So we'll find out in just about an hour or so when the Golden Knights take the ice for warm-ups who will be in net for Vegas. But as we've touched on, alluded to multiple times throughout the show, Tomáš Hertl expected to make his Vegas Golden Knights debut on a line with Chandler Stephenson and Michael Amadio. As we know, Pavel Dorofeev has been going really well alongside William Karlsson and Anthony Mantha. I'm not expecting any changes there. No Alex Pietrangelo, no William Carrier, no Nick Waugh. So even as the Golden Knights are kind of turning the corner in some respects on health, it's been one of those seasons where they've had to deal with players in and out of the lineup really all season long. And so this is just the latest iteration of that. And going into Vancouver tonight, you have an opportunity to make a statement again against a team you might see in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, some of the injuries are a little concerning because William Carrier has missed a ton of time this year. And I think for the fourth line, it's been hard for them to really find traction because they haven't had. Like, I think William Carrier's only played like 31 games or something like that. So it's been really, really hard for this fourth line to get any traction going. But the good news is you've gotten other guys' experience playing there. So... it's interesting to see what they go with tonight in terms of what the fourth line will be. I anticipate it'll be Brett Howden centering fourth line, Paul Cotter on the wing, and Keegan Kolesar, birthday boy Keegan Kolesar, on the other side. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, you're right there. So if you want to see the Golden Knights take on the Colorado Avalanche, caller number 8-702-876-1340. You're a winner. Caller number 8-702-876-1340. You're going to see the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday. One-timers are next on the BGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner. Centered. One-timer score!
It's time for One-Timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
One-timers brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. It's news and notes from around the National Hockey League, and as we do every single time, clinching scenarios. There are none. No clinching scenarios tonight in the National Hockey League. Just two games, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is coming up on the end of the second period, 1-1. Pittsburgh needing a win. They've won four straight. We'll get to Pittsburgh here in just a moment. Vegas Golden Knights probably would have had a clinching scenario if they would have been able to pick up 2 points in Arizona, but we all know how that went. Okay.
Yeah, when the Blues lose to the Sharks the very next day, you're really kicking yourself.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so the Stars beat the Avalanche last night, and in doing so, I think we know who's going to win the Central, and I think we know what that 2-3 matchup's going to be going into the playoffs. The Dallas Stars are up 5 points on the Colorado Avalanche, 107-102, with four games remaining for both teams. I don't think that Colorado's going to make up a 5-point deficit in four games. I just don't see it happening. So I think we're pretty well locked into Colorado-Winnipeg in the first round. And then it'll just be dependent on, really, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Nashville Predators, the Los Angeles Kings, as to who will play either Dallas or, likely, Vancouver at the tops of each division. So with that being said, I think we're pretty well locked into our first official matchup in the Western Conference, and it's a doozy, Colorado and Winnipeg. Your thoughts on that series, Chris Chapman?
Yeah, file this under things I did not see coming 2 weeks ago when the Colorado Avalanche had like that 7 or 8-game winning streak.
Yep.
I thought for sure they were going to win the Central Division and Dallas would end up playing Winnipeg in the first round. Mm-hmm. Well, I was wrong. Dallas right now has really picked the great time to start playing some really, really good hockey. Look, they destroyed the Edmonton Oilers the other night, and then they followed up by destroying the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday. They're for real. They're a good team. They're getting everything in order. They're playing their best hockey of the season going into the playoffs. I remember last week I said, not too concerned about them. Mm-hmm. The old Pete DeBoer, his team's regressed. Look, you still got to play the games, but, man, they are playing really, really good hockey right now. And, yeah, you're right. I think they're going to end up winning the Central, and you're right, Colorado, Winnipeg, which I think, unfortunately for Winnipeg, is not a side that they're going to end up on the winning side on.
You don't give Winnipeg a chance in that series, huh?
I do, because I think last year Colorado lost to Seattle in the first round.
Yeah.
But I just think Colorado's better than Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg has some issues, especially defensively. And as we've talked about multiple times, Connor Hellebuck can't go out there and do everything by himself in the playoffs.
He can't, but he can win you a series.
The problem with that is he hasn't won a series against an elite team yet.
It's fair, but he can win you a series.
The potential is there.
It's there.
But the likelihood, probably not there.
Okay. So let's dig into the juiciness surrounding the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh,
as we mentioned, the Pittsburgh Penguins have won four in a row. They're currently tied right now in the second period with Toronto. A win for Pittsburgh would push them 1 point over the Detroit Red Wings for the final wild card spot. You've got the New York Islanders in third place in the Metropolitan Division with 85 points. Boy, oh boy, that's ridiculous to me. I'm going to pause on that for a moment because this is a realistic possibility. It's not as realistic as it was maybe a couple of days ago, but this is at least an outside possibility here. The New York Rangers have 110 points. They're at the top of the Metropolitan Division. There exists a world where if Boston wins out and the Rangers hit a little bit of a speed wobble, the Bruins win the Eastern Conference, and the Rangers, who finish first in the Metropolitan, have to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the playoffs. And the team that finishes in second, Carolina, could play a menagerie of the New York Islanders, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Washington Capitals, Philadelphia Flyers. Like, that is a scenario where you are not rewarded in any way, shape, or form for winning your division. But I digress. Alex Nedeljkovic could lead the Pittsburgh Penguins into the postseason. And why is that funny? Why is that important? Well, Alex Nedeljkovic was a Detroit Red Wing last year. He was deemed expendable by Steve Yzerman. He goes to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and now he is the guy. Alex Nedeljkovic has been the guy for Pittsburgh in this march to the postseason. And if Nedeljkovic can continue to move along, if he can continue to push in the right direction, if Nedeljkovic can continue to win games for the Penguins, it would be poetic justice that Alex Nedeljkovic leads the Penguins to the postseason over his former team in the Detroit Red Wings. I don't know about you, Chapman. I'm here for it. I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah, you and I are both petty like that.
Oh, 100%.
So I'm first of all, I love the fact that the Penguins are playing well. Like, I kind of wish this had happened a little earlier because I enjoy Pittsburgh. I like Sid. I like Malkin. I like, obviously, Riley Smith. So I want to see them make the playoffs. But it would be one of the most petty things for me and you if the Penguins end up getting that eighth spot over the Red Wings, who have pretty much been in a playoff position all season. They faded a little bit, but the Penguins on their back of a resurgent Alex Nedeljkovic. Oh, my God, it would be so amazing. By the way, remember the year Nedeljkovic got a vote for Rookie of the Year, and you and I were shaking, like, who voted for that guy?
Yeah.
But the Red Wings said, you're not good enough. Okay.
So the New York Islanders have replaced the Philadelphia Flyers in terms of teams in the three spot that don't deserve to be there. at least the Pittsburgh Penguins have a plus goal differential.
Yes, yes.
Like, I cannot live in a world where the Islanders or the Washington Capitals make the playoffs. The Islanders a minus 23. The Capitals, a minus 41. A minus 41 goal differential, Chapman.
And they're right there. That's right there. By the way,
unbelievable.
A team with an even goal differential, they were in it until yesterday. I think yesterday's loss to the Red Wings kind of sealed the fate of the Buffalo Sabres.
They were not in it.
They had a chance.
They had no chance.
But now with the loss, they are they're done.
You've been saying New Jersey's been done for 2 months now, and you're telling me honestly that the Buffalo Sabres were in
it? Well, the Sabres were playing well the last couple weeks. The Devils kind of 500, I guess.
5-5 is well?
For the Sabres? Yes.
Come on.
Buffalo, yes.
They were in it. That's one of the most egregious things you've said on this show.
Maybe the pack regressed to them because, as we've talked about
multiple times. That's more like it.
Nobody. Look, Detroit, 4-4-2. The Sabres, 5-5. The Islanders, 6-4-0. But then you've got the Penguins, 6-2-2.
Yeah.
Caps, 3-5-2. The Flyers, 2-5-3.
Boy.
They've lost seven straight losses for the Flyers.
Yeah, it's not ideal for the Philadelphia Flyers.
I wonder if Tortorella's gone at the end of the year.
I don't think so. This isn't a John Tortorella thing.
Listen, the team didn't go all in.
They sold at the deadline.
Yeah, so I think probably the right thing to do.
Oh, 100% the right thing to do.
Yeah.
All right, one more tidbit on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sidney Crosby was named the second star of the week in the National Hockey League. 5 goals, 6 points over his last 4 games. As we mentioned, the Penguins have won 4 in a row. At 36 years old, Sidney Crosby has scored his third 40-goal season. He's got 85 points. If the Penguins make the playoffs, does Sidney Crosby garner attention for the Hart Trophy?
He won't, because there's just other guys who've had spectacular seasons as well.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Well, I think
I don't think he's going to be a finalist.
No, but I think he's probably going to finish top 7.
Oh, I think top 5.
Ooh,
I think top 5.
I could see him. Well, let's see. You've got Austin. You've got McDavid.
I don't think Austin Matthews is in it unless he scores 70 goals.
Okay, so even if he's not in it, you've got McKinnon, Kucherov,
McDavid. Yep. Panarin.
Yeah, Panarin.
And then I think you've got Crosby if the Penguins make the playoffs. 40-goal year for a guy that is notoriously a pass-first guy.
Yeah.
Who's carried this team at age 36 to the playoffs. I think that Crosby sneaks in there. I don't think he wins it, not at all. But I do think that you see some first place votes for Sidney Crosby.
No love for Sam Reinhart?
No.
Why not? 90 points, 53 goals?
Because I don't think that, like, if Austin Matthews isn't really garnering the attention, why would Sam Reinhart on a stacked team with 10 less goals than Austin Matthews?
I think maybe because the Panthers are above Toronto in the standings.
No, I think the fact that they are doing well is a detriment to Sam Reinhart.
Better chance if they stunk.
Yeah. Or if you needed another late push to get into the postseason. Like, I just think the optics for Crosby are there. Okay, this is a Penguins team that sold at the deadline. Sidney Crosby's having another one of those seasons. He scored 40 goals, put the team on his back. They were left for dead, and all of a sudden they get themselves into the playoffs after missing last year. I think the narrative's there.
I'll say this. Of all the guys that we mentioned, maybe outside of Panarin, only because Darren last week said he would never win a Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
I'd root for him, for Panarin.
Sure.
But I want to live in a world where Sidney Crosby wins a Hart Trophy this year. Like, I want to live in that world.
Yeah, I nominated kind of top 5, top 10. Yeah, 100%. If they make the playoffs, he's absolutely
he's not going to win it.
Moving in that direction. But he's not going to win it.
But, oh my God, it would be great if he did.
Who do you think is going to win it?
Oh, man. I honestly, if the Oilers...
Do you think
if the Oilers win the division,
yeah,
I think it's going to be McDavid.
They control their own destiny.
Yeah, they really do.
They play Vancouver one more time. If they win out,
they win the Pacific.
They win the Pacific Division. It's all within their grasp.
And Vegas could help them tonight.
They absolutely could. If you want to play the Vancouver Canucks in the first round of the playoffs, go out and beat Vancouver tonight.
Yeah, ruin Archer's night.
Oh, you're not even going to try to pronounce the last name,
no,
eh?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to go there.
That's good stuff. Those are your one-timers for today. Eclipse Day. I'm not even going to give you the date. I don't know what the date is. I truly don't. We're getting into that game day, non-game day thing. But those are your one-timers for today. Total Eclipse Day in the United States of America. We're back with Catching Up with Chapman.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan. Well, total opportunity missed today is did not play Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Really mad at you about that, actually.
On this Solar Eclipse Monday here in Vegas.
Only
about 50% we got. We didn't get the full view, but
I feel like anything less than 100% isn't worth it.
Yeah, and my neighbor who let me use her glasses, she told me that we weren't going to get another one for 30 years, which puts me in my mid-70s.
I'll catch the next one.
Yeah, well.
Unless I don't.
Yeah. Did you catch it today or no?
Well, I was outside with the kids, and they looked. Mrs. Wallace looked.
Yeah.
She asked me if I wanted to, and I said, why? Like, I remember being a kid and, like, looking through the, like, makeshift glasses or, like, trying to see the eclipse on a piece of paper in front of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And I remember then just being, like, super unenthused with it.
Yeah.
So, I was there. I had an opportunity. But I feel like anything less than 100% is just a waste of time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I mean, I wanted to see it, but you didn't really see it, so... I saw like a little smidgen of the moon go by the sun. But you know, you kind of gave me a little bit of a hard time, too, because I told you I don't like that song, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
You got to get the Dan Band version, buddy.
It's not at the level of like Love Shack or Mariah Carey's Christmas song.
I'm glad you didn't say, hey, they're Delilah.
Well, that's on there, too. That's on the hate list. But
why do you dislike good songs?
They're not good songs. That's the problem. They're overplayed. They're so
Mariah Carey is a national treasure.
Oh, it's the worst song.
You want to know why they're overplayed? Because they're good songs.
No, it's crap. Worst song ever made.
Which one?
Mariah Carey's Christmas song. It's terrible.
You're just a hater.